first king would welcome me. I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free. A slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died.
Hallelujah, glory to God. Yes, we are children of God. We are the authentic seed of Abraham. Welcome once again to your morning energizer, your morning inspiration. Welcome to the morning faith boost. That's who you are by Hillsong Worship. Well, you've been hearing that a bit this week. I'm sure it's a great song. I'm sure you like it. So, we have been talking about who we are, what we have. I know we, you know, use that topic a lot more last week, and then we're a bit more specific this week about being the seed of Abraham. So just a quick recap. We're learning from God's word that when, you know, Galatians chapter 3 lets us know by revelation that when the Bible said this blessing is to Abraham and to his seed, Abraham and to his seed, the blessing is to Abraham and to Christ. All right. And then verse 29 of Galatians, you know, 3 throws in a big revelation. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The promise belongs to you. You are the authentic seed, all right? The NLT says you are the true children. You are the true. Some say you are the spiritual children. So Isaac, Jacob, Joseph were the physical, natural heirs. I mean, there had to be something to continue. You know, there's this law of double reference when you read the Bible. So physically speaking, all right, so we see Isaac, we see Jacob, we see Joseph, we see them as the heirs, all right, of Abraham. But suddenly we come into the New Testament and we see that, hey, all right, it's Christ. And now, oh, hey, it's us. So we see that in God's word. There's also double reference in that when God was telling David, you will not build me a house, you know, your son will build me the house, and then your son will have a throne that will last forever. You know, your son will build me that eternal house and all of that. So we see Solomon showing up, and then Solomon builds the house. But double reference. Christ is now, you know, the seed of David, and he's the one building the eternal house for God, all right? He's the one, you know, recreating us, You know, through his death, burial, and resurrection, we become new creatures. And then God has a dwelling place, a permanent dwelling place in men. So you find just double reference, right? Just sneaking in or just playing all through scripture, here and there, here and there, here and there. So we see this here, and it's quite interesting. So I'd like to quickly pick it again from the 17th verse of Galatians chapter 3. All right, so Galatians chapter 3 says, this is what I'm saying. The agreement God made with Abraham could not be canceled 400 years later when God gave the law to Moses. All right, God will be breaking his promise. I believe this is clear. All right, God gave a promise to Abraham. All right, Moses shows up 430 years later, brings the law and says, if you want to enjoy the blessing God gave to Abraham, you have to, all right, fulfill this conditions. So everybody now says, oh, I need to fulfill conditions. And somehow, because we who are now new creatures who are born again have been taught the law of Moses and we've grown up with it, somewhere in our minds, if some things are not going on well for us the way we intend or the way we expect, we just start feeling, have I done something wrong? Is there a code in the law I've broken? Sometimes you don't think, you know, obviously or just, you know, overtly about the law, but it's just sneaking in somewhere. Did I do something? Sometimes you've not done anything for things to go wrong. Jesus said affliction arises for the sake of the word. There are times when things just go horrible because the word you've received is being proved. Obviously not by God, but it's still being proved. Some of the times there's nothing you've done wrong. You've done everything you need to do right. All you need to do is maintain patience. So it's not every time something goes wrong, you're like, did I do something wrong? Have I gone wrong again? No, you take authority. It might even be the devil trying to mess things up. So the believer, you know, maybe you step out in the day, you know, you got some flat tire, then you try fixing it, then something happened, the car didn't start, and then you tried, you know, taking the public transport, and then, all right. So it might just be, you know, the devil's trying to frustrate whatever it is that they will look like. Just have, oh God, what have I done? Oh God, what have I done? Oh God. You know, if you always think first, what have I done? Then it seems like it might be, all right, that the law is hiding around somewhere, hiding around, trying to maybe make you feel bad. So this I say, all right, this I'm trying to say, the agreement God made with Abraham could not be canceled 430 years later when God gave the law to Moses. God will be breaking his promise. For if the inheritance could be received by keeping the law, then it would not be the result of accepting God's promise. But God graciously gave it to Abraham as a promise. God graciously gave it to Abraham as a promise. God, you know when you graciously give someone something as a promise? Graciously. God graciously just, hey, Abraham, I bless you. Now, there were things Abraham had to do. Yes, Abraham had to, you know, honor God, obey God. And I've had to teach that. I have this series. I don't think it's on our website yet. All right. I have a series I've had to teach, you know, a few times, Secrets of Blessed Men. So I tried in that series to look at certain things that were like common denominators. And one of the things you find is these men honored God. All right. So Isaac didn't have to, you know, take Esau or take Jacob, and God says, so I'm going to test you again. So you're going to kill one of these guys. You know, he also waited to have children. You know, so Isaac didn't have to now, you know, go through, you know, the tests, as it were, that Abraham, he did it. However, God told Isaac in Genesis 26, don't go to Egypt, stay here. So he honored God. He obeyed. So you still find them honoring God. You find Joseph honoring God in Egypt. If not, he would have messed up a Potiphar's wife, would have just misbehaved in the prison. These men lived a life that honored God. Jacob, when he, you know, God told him, it's time to go back to where we talked in Bethel. Get back. And then he told Laban, I've got to go. Laban said, I'm going to increase your salary. He said, no, I've got to go. I've got to go meet with the God of my fathers. These men honored God. These men avoided strife. You know, you find common denominators around them. Abraham had to tell Lot, listen, we can't fight, all right? These men shouldn't make us fight, all right? We've increased. You take whatever you want. I'll be fine. Jacob was cheated by Laban. We didn't find him fighting with him. No strife. All right, you find Joseph too. He could have gone to the prison. Oh no, I'm going to, no. So there were common, you know, it's a wonderful study. You could just look at their lives and you find common denominators, things that were like, wow, these men were honorable men. They were generous. They were large-hearted. So we are of that lineage. Blessed men are not stingy. All right, because you know that, I mean, like Abraham, you could free what you have and someone lets it off or takes it off. And they know, I have abundance, I have much more. Oh, praise God. You know, so God graciously gave the promises to Abraham. 19 now says, why then? I just need to read this again for someone today. Why then was the law given? It was given alongside the promise to show people their sins. But the law was designed to last only until the coming of the child who was promised. So the law had a time frame. The law had an expiry date. The law was designed to last only until the coming of the child who was promised. God gave his law through angels to Moses, who was the mediator between God and the people. Now, a mediator is helpful if more than one party must reach an agreement. God, who is one, did not use a mediator when he gave his promise to Abraham. He spoke directly to Abraham. Is there a conflict then between God's law and God's promises? Absolutely not. Some people think, oh, there is. It seems confusing. No, there's not. The law had a purpose. The law had a time frame. So you get this. Please follow. Absolutely not. If the Lord could give us new life, all right, we could, and that's what Jesus came to give us, right? I came that you may have life, all right? If the Lord gave us new life, we could be made right. King James says, then righteousness would have come by the law. We could be made right, all right, with God by obeying it. But the scriptures declare that we are all prisoners of sin. So we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing. Only so everybody, Jew or Gentile, those who had the law, those who didn't have the law, there was a common denominator. Everybody is a slave to sin. All right? If not, the Jews, because they had the law, they felt special. And yes, to certain degrees, they were. All right? So they felt special. They felt like, oh, we're the good guys. You know, God loves us. Da-da-da-da-da. We've got a covenant. So we're, you know, all these guys can't match up to us. God says, uh-uh. So I need to let you know that all of you, you know, are in sin. So all of you now, both Jew, excuse me, and Gentile, now need to receive, all right, what I'm doing through my son, Jesus Christ, by faith, not by law. So you Jews don't feel, oh, you're closer to me because I gave you something. Now you need to still come by faith. So we're touching a bit more on faith today because it's a faith operation now. So 22 again says, but the scriptures, all right, declare that we are all prisoners of sin. So we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Christ Jesus. 23, before the way of faith. I want you to notice how it is structured here. King James says, before faith came. All right. So faith, we're embracing that understanding of faith today. Before faith came. All right. That's how King James puts it. But NLT, which is a bit clearer, a bit more recent, all right, in communication, in language, says, before the way of faith in Christ was made available. Please note that. Before, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. It's getting clearer. Before the way of faith was made available to us, the way of faith in Christ was made available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. I said yesterday, this is not us, all right? This is for the Jews, this part here. Before the way of faith in Christ was made available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. So before they knew the way of faith, that's the way of just believe, receive. The way they knew was the way of law. You've got to do something to receive. All right? So there's the way of faith. Believe, you receive. There's the way of the law. Do something to receive. Did you get that? There's the way of faith. Believe, you receive. There's the way of the law. Do something, you receive. There's the way of faith. Believe. So I'll take 23 again, please. Before the way of faith in Christ was revealed, before it was revealed, we were placed under guard by the law. So there's the way of faith. There's the way of the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. Let me put it in another way, and you're going to get this other way. Let me put it in another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came, all right? A guardian, someone just watching over you, okay? Daddy, mommy not around. Daddy, mommy went on a date night. Daddy, mommy went, you know, to see a movie or something. And then you had a nanny come around to be with you. Nanny is not daddy. Nanny is not mommy. Nanny is only around while mommy, daddy went out, you know, on their date or whatever it was that took them out. And then once they're back, nanny says, oh, Mr. and Mrs., you know, Johnson, you know, was nice, you know, watching, you know, babysitting your kid. I had a great time. All right. See you when next you need me. So that's the guardian now. All right. The law was just someone to be with you temporarily. So 24, let me put it another way. All right. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until, keep noting please the use of the word until. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. So you see law, you see faith. You see law, you see faith. All right. 25, and now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law. This is very clear language. This is very, very clear. Maybe if you use the King James, all right, I might want to say, oh, maybe that's why it's not clear, you know, but this is clear. I mean, I've taught this thing from the King James Bible for over 20 years. I mean, it's clear. Now, I'm trying to refresh my mind. Anyway, that was it, you know, I had this Revised Standard Version Bible, you know, that I used, you know, to finish high school, secondary school. And then, you know, then there's this, so that was what I had into, you know, college, if I would use the word college to universally cut it across, you know, but higher institution. Now, so I'm trying to remember which I used first to get this or to see this, but it's clear. It's clear. But it's very simple, beautiful, simple, beautifully simple English here in NLT. All right. 25 again. And now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian. So the law comes with the do's, the don'ts, the regulations, but you receive things now by the way of faith. Let's quickly go to chapter 4, then we'll come back to chapter 3. Think of it this way. If a father, please follow, think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. Verse 2 now says, they have to obey their guardians, all right? And don't forget who guardian is in chapter 3, the law. They have to obey their guidance until they reach whatever age their father set. And that's the way it was with us before Christ came. We were like children. We were slaves to the basic principles of this world. Verse 4 says, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent his spirit, the spirit of his son, into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father, now you are no longer a slave, but a child of God. And since you are a slave, you are his child, God has made you his heir. Are you seeing the connection now? Because chapter 4 just rolls right after chapter 3, all right? The law is the guardian. And then because he's trying to guard them, the Lord just wants to let them know, listen, you are a slave of sin. And we've read that earlier. Because you have to keep all the law. If you break one, I've broken everything. If you break one, I've broken everything. You know what? Let me just allow the Bible speak for itself. We are still in Galatians chapter 3. So back up quickly to the first verse. Because this is all Galatians chapter 3 is dealing with. If you want to understand the place of the Old Testament versus New Testament, spend time in Galatians 3 and 4, and then spend time in Hebrews, right, from 6, 7, 8, 9, and a bit of 10. But really, you could do more of 7, 8, 9, and a bit of 10. all foolish Galatians, I'm reading now, who has cast a spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. So he's beginning to make a comparison between the law and faith. Once again, he says, did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be? After your new lives in the Spirit, you are now trying to become perfect by your own human effort, the law. Have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely, it was not in vain, was it? Verse 5 now, I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It is because you believe the message you heard about Christ. So it's comparing law and faith. The law and faith. The law and faith. Verse 6 now. In the same way, Abraham believed God and God counted it as righteousness because of his faith. All right. So we remember, yes, that Abraham did something. Oh, Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. Oh, Abraham was willing to offer up Isaac. Oh, Abraham was prompt in his obedience, you know, when God told him to circumcise. And Abraham, yes, we remember all of that. But remember, the Bible clearly told us that when God told him, look at the stars, so shall your seed be. Bible said Abraham believed God. And the scripture notes there in Genesis that God counted it to him as righteousness. Abraham believed. Look at the stars, so shall your seed be. Abraham believed. Abraham believed. Abraham believed. Abraham believed. You and I now follow after the footsteps of Abraham by living this life of faith. All right. So the blessing we receive has been paid for by Christ Jesus and handed over to everyone who believes in Christ Jesus. So the moment you believe in Christ Jesus, you qualify for the blessing. So the primary qualification for the blessing is I believe in Christ Jesus. I believe in Christ Jesus. Let's keep reading. All right. So verse 6 says, in the same way, Abraham believed God and God counted it as righteousness because of his faith. The real children of Abraham then are those who put their faith in God. The real ones, the real, the authentic seed of Abraham are those who live by faith, not those by the law. So there are two kinds of Jews now. We have physical Jews on the earth and then we have spiritual Jews. We are the spiritual Jews. We are the authentic seed of Abraham. All right, so the real, I'm reading verse 7. The real children of Abraham then are those who put their faith in God. Verse 8, what's more, the scripture looked forward to this time when God will make the Gentiles right in his sight because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, all nations will be blessed through you. So God was preaching the gospel to Abraham. Verse 9, please note verse 9. So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. Whoop, whoop, whoop. All right, that's a triple whoop. I mean, that's a million whoop verse. You need to get this. So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. So Abraham believed God. It was accounted unto him as righteousness. All right, so righteousness is one of the gifts you receive as being a seed of Abraham. I mean, basically, Abraham was connecting us to new creation blessing because Bible said God preached the gospel ahead of time to Abraham. So the blessing of Abraham is not just material. All right, we're going to tomorrow talk about the fullness of the blessing of Abraham. Just get ready for that, all right? The fullness of the blessing. So if you likely have heard me teach you, my guess, okay, I think I know where it's going tomorrow. Yep, but it's still going to be awesome. Glory to God. So go, now watch verse 9 again. So all who put their faith in Christ. So all the children of Moses, all they had to do was do the law, do the law, do the law, do the law. So in our own cases, Put your faith in Christ. Once you put your faith in Christ, every blessing ever given to Abraham, which includes every blessing you'd ever find in the lives of the children of Israel. Because the children of Israel were blessed because of Abraham. Every child of Abraham was blessed because of Abraham. You saw it in Genesis 26 when we read it. Isaac was blessed because it was Abraham's child. Jacob was blessed because it was Abraham's child. Joseph was blessed because of Abraham's child. The whole nation of Israel, they get blessed all because they are Abraham's children. Moses adds the law. Conditions come in, they are still Abraham's children. That's why the woman bent over in the book of Luke, Jesus said, she's a daughter of Abraham. She shouldn't be in this condition. She's a daughter of Abraham. Verse 9 again, so all who put their faith in Christ share. Please understand that the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. But those who depend on the law, we need to see this. You need to go on your own and read Galatians 3. It's exciting. But those who depend on the law to make them right with God, they are under a curse. Because the scriptures say, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the commandments that are written in the book of the law. You know, because the law says, if you break one, you broke all. So it's you can't satisfy God through the law. It's difficult. Verse 11 says, so it is clear that no one can be made right. It is clear. No one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law. For the scriptures say it is through faith that a righteous person has life. All right. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live. By faith, not by keeping the law. It's by faith. Are you getting this now? It's by faith. So faith is the activator. Faith is what gets us into the blessing. So now that you are a believer in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham belongs to you. Verse 9 again. So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing. All right? Abraham received because of his faith. Let's quickly get to Romans and the fourth chapter of Romans, the 13th verse. Romans 4 and 13. Romans 4, 13. Clearly, God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants, please notice Abraham and his descendants, was based not on obedience on God's law, but on right relationship with God that comes by faith. So it's teaching us faith here. Basically faith. Basically, faith. God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was based not on his obedience to God's law, but on a relationship with God that comes by faith. All right, 14 says, if God's promise is only, please, you need to catch verse 14. If God's promise is only for those who obey the law, then faith is not necessary and the promise is pointless. I love this verse. Did you see what I just read? If God's promise is only for those that obey the law, then faith is not necessary and the promise is pointless. So there's no need for faith because you can get it by doing something. You can get it by doing something. You can get it by doing something. Faith won't be necessary. So faith will not be necessary. Then the promise is pointless. Why would the promise be pointless? We saw it in Galatians chapter 3. He said God graciously gave it to Abraham as a promise. So it won't be a promise anymore if you have to do something. If I say, please come to my house, I have a gift for you. Then you show up and I say, well, there are 15 things you need to do. Then it's no longer a promise. A promise is pointless. Just tell us we have to do something to get it. But God says, no, this thing is a promise. All you do is believe in Christ Jesus, and you qualify. And put your faith in the things God talks to you about. All right? And I said yesterday that we're not lawless. We're not under the law of Moses, but we have a law. Romans, this same Romans in chapter 8, all right? It tells us that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. So there's a new law. All right, the new law we have in the New Testament, we have the law of love. We're not free from the law of love. It's a law of the New Testament. Jesus said, a new law I give to you. All right, that you love your neighbor now just as I have loved you. That's how I want you to love your neighbor. The way I've loved you, you love your neighbor. All right. The old law says you love your neighbor as yourself. You know, but the new law. So there's a new law, guys. So now quickly to Romans, you know, chapter 3 of Romans. All right. Romans chapter 3. I want to show you something here. All right. Because it's talking about the righteousness of God, but we don't have time to look through all that quickly. So verse 27 of Romans 3 says, can we boast then that we have done everything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal, all right, is not based on obeying the law. It is based on faith. Our righteousness is not by law. It's by faith. Verse 28 says, so we are made right with God, all right, through faith, not by obeying the law. The 27th verse there, all right, in the King James says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. So faith is a new law of the New Testament. The just will live by faith. So right there where you are, believe all the word says about you being the seed of Abraham. Believe what the word says about you, because now that you have faith in Christ, you are a believer in Christ Jesus. Let your faith be active. 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 You are a believer. Walk through your day knowing I don't move by the law. I move by faith. And faith is me believing in the intangible things that Jesus made available for me. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Have a beautiful, as in like seriously beautiful day. See you tomorrow.
There's a place for me. I'm a child.